Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour. This is for February 21st, 2019. And yes, the time is moving quickly this year. I hope this slows down. Somebody told me the other day that they thought time actually was speeding up. What we use for time as a reference are atomic pulses, activity vibrations of atoms that are very exact. And so although it seems to us like time is speeding up, it actually is not. It's a psychological issue. And time is a funny thing because there is no set reference. We use the sun, the orbit of the Earth around the sun. But there again, if let's say all of a sudden everything sped up, we would have no secondary reference to say, well, gee, the sun is just everything. The sun's spinning faster. The Earth's going in its orbit faster. Jupiter is going in its orbit faster. It's spinning faster. And so those mechanical things we use to measure time, including clocks, etc., everything would have to speed up at the same time, and it's not happening, is what I'm telling you. Because we have many cross-references. Take a clock that's based on a digital circuit that you put a little battery into, and it's either on your shelf or you hang it on the wall. That's another reference. So we have all of these references and cross-checks relative to time. And if time were speeding up, then you'd get to sundown, and it would be like, instead of 6 o'clock at night, it'd be 9 o'clock at night, or 6:04, or some every day it would be changing. And the reference that we use, like I say, is an atomic clock based on the frequency of atomic frequencies, and those we rely on as being very steady. But there's many other cross checks, like the clock, your watch. You know, if you buy a very good watch, it's not related to the spinning of the Earth or the Earth in its orbit. It's a totally different mechanism for measuring time. And, of course, that's one of the issues if we had a pole shift, which has happened. When Venus, the comet, came through the solar system in historical times, the ancients tell us about this, and they tell us that the day changed, and that's what Velikovsky was studying. He was studying the change of calendars, that the previous calendar, annual calendar, had 360 days, and then now we have 365 and a quarter days as the calendar. And that's one thing that the Mayans were very astute at. And you might wonder, too, if some race were living in the tropics, there would probably not be a big incentive to figure out calendars and predict lunar eclipses, etc. But they did. They had very accurate calendar recording, predictions, etc. And that was a survival issue because they depended on a rainy season and a dry season. And they better get their crops done in that rainy season. Things would still grow in the dry season. But their real production was during the rainy season and coordinated with that. And so for literally hundreds of years, thousands of years, they had to survive in mass, in large numbers, based on a calendar that was accurate. And so anyway, this is an issue I've talked a lot about that. Velikovsky was very right, and of course he got tangled up with Carl Sagan and the astronomical community because he said that this comet, Venus, came through the solar system, it ravaged Mars, took away Mars' atmosphere and oceans, then came by Earth, caused a lot of damage on two occasions, we know from the Mayan Popol Vuh, and then nestled into its current location, the orbit of Venus. And there's indication there was no planet Venus prior to this event. In fact, there was atmospheric activity, etc., that mountain building and a pole shift, and that's my point, is that we had a physical pole shift during that second Venus encounter with Earth. It was closer, it was much more devastating, and that, by the way, was during the Moses event. I talk about this in my CD, my two CD set, The Physics of Ancient Celestial Disasters. It's actually the official title, I believe, is Planet X and the Physics of Ancient Celestial Disasters. But so we did have a time change, and that's why I built my product. I designed my product called the Recalendar Sunstar Clock, because you, first of all, it has our current calendar in all the variations, including the fact that we have precession. That means that the Earth is like a top. If you spin a top on a table, it'll precess. It kind of spins around. It like moves around, and the Earth is doing that and precessing. So the North Pole changes directions on a regular basis, and astronomers can measure this very accurately. So my calendar includes precession, and it includes the current calendar, where we have 12 months and 365 and a quarter days, etc. And I have a little calendar where you can set the year and then know the calendar, and this goes way out into the future and way back into the past. Sometimes archaeologists I see are making a mistake in that they try to regress back into like 4 or 10,000 years ago using our current calendar, and it doesn't work because the calendar changed drastically. Velikovsky sets the date at 1500 BC, and that's the best reckoning that we can tell right now. It's kind of odd. There's a bunch of new jumping on the bandwagon people writing books now about the a catastrophe potentially with a comet, but they don't know what a comet is. And they're basically trying to reinvent the wheel here. The real master of this was Velikovsky, and of course they don't reference Velikovsky's work. And if they're going to change Velikovsky's work, they should reference it and say why. But when people a lot of times write their own books, they don't self-criticize themselves. When I write my books, I critique myself from many other points of view. And so anyway, it's a real problem. But the calendars, the Recalendar Sunstar Clock, will allow you, using the stars or the sun, to create a calendar in a couple minutes. It works in the northern and southern hemispheres, both day and night. And once you set it up, it gives you a reckoning of time for the entire year, and every year after year after year, etc. And so, and if somebody found one of these in 10,000 years, when the precession had moved into another location, the North Pole pointing at the would no longer point at what we call the North Star right now, they could put together our solar system with Earth. Say we had even had a pole shift somewhere in there. Another big comet comes through the solar system, which there is no information at this time of such a thing. If there were such an event, they would be able to tell what our orbit was and what our calendar was and piece it back together. And that's a tool we do not have now regarding the past. And so we look at some of the archaeological locations, and we see that they were built like Chichen Itza. I've done surveying work there, and some of the other Mayan cities, and determined that the old North Pole, the grid work that these cities were built on, corresponds to a different grid work than we have today. Chichen Itza is 13.5 degrees off of what we call true north today. So things had really changed, and the Mayans unwittingly built their city on the old grid work. I could go into a lot of detail on that. But at any rate, it's just when I started this whole narration, I was talking about people saying, oh, time is speeding up. And actually, it's not. And sometimes people write to me and say, oh, the moon, it's in a different place. The moon is going out of its orbit. I say, no, the moon has a very complex orbit. Sometimes it's over here, sometimes it's over there. It's a rather complicated orbit. And so the moon is not changing its orbit either, just to quell any beliefs in that. And the other day on a radio show, somebody asked a question very off point for the topic we were talking about. I was in an interview, being interviewed, and they asked, is there any Planet X stuff coming? And no. The real story, and you have to study, and I guess I get aggravated to people who don't study and ask me a question that I have answered many times, and it's in my work. So I have a very good downloadable DVD on this entire topic called this is the 2015 20th anniversary of Hale-Bopp and the Harrington expedition and the discovery that literally what Harrington was looking for, which started this whole Planet X craze, something that I had talked about in my work going back to long, long, long before any of this ever came out. I didn't use the term Planet X. That's kind of it's an old astronomical term that has been kind of corrupted by all of the lunacy put out there by the CIA and their little minions out here. But Hale-Bopp, literally the nucleus of Hale-Bopp, was the Planet X object that Harrington had discovered. And it was not on a 3,600-year orbit at all. And its orbit changed drastically. So lots and lots of misinformation came out. And the crazy lady that talked to aliens, remember? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That was a total CIA disinformation operation to try and quell the topic of Planet X. But anyway, no, there's no known objects, rogue objects that are targeting Earth. No, there are not. And really, those events are extremely rare. That we had two of them in recorded history, the Noah event, which was the Great Flood, which was Earth passing through the tail of a large comet for about 40 days and 40 nights with torrential rain. That was one. It was not a tremendously close encounter, gravitationally, etc., but it was enough to raise our ocean levels a couple hundred feet. And then there was the Venus event, which Venus encountered Earth on two occasions. The first one was very mild, and the second one was really devastating, in which we had about a 30-degree pole shift, literally a physical pole shift. And by the way, there's lots of loony-toony-toony stuff running around the internet saying that the magnetic pole is changing, it's racing towards Russia, as if there were some kind of Russian conspiracy over the North Pole, and it's going to flip, or there's a double North Pole. Oh my goodness, what a bunch of Looney Tunes running around the internet, some guy, suspicious observer, or some Looney Tune like that. That guy is a fruitcake. Don't listen to anything that yo-yo says. He tries to copy my work, but does a very poor job. And clearly, people like that are getting help under the table for their very existence. And the CIA loves these people because they are idiots. And if they give them a little bit of support, they will continue to be idiots on a grand scale. So anyway, and that's why I don't post on YouTube. I don't have a YouTube page because you're just in a sea of Looney Tunes and CIA disinformation, etc. And if So anyway, I'm not going to go into that at all. So back just to the original question, is time changing? No, it's not. Everything's stable. The moon's still in its same place. The sun's still doing what it does, except I will mention the lack of solar activity is going on. And recently, somebody emailed me, and there's a guy out there apparently getting some press that's saying this is related to cosmic rays, that somehow cosmic ray activity is causing a reduction in solar activity. But this is kind of like the wagging the tail, the dog wagging the tail, wagging the dog type of thing. It would be like you go to a doctor. Let's just take a different scenario, and you have these red spots all over your face, and the doctor says, "Oh well, you have chicken pox. It's being caused by the red spots on your face." That's the same type of scenario as somebody trying to tell you that cosmic rays are causing the sun to do something. It's the other way around. The sun's basically has an electric field around it in the form of a capacitor, and this affects the entrance of cosmic rays into the solar system, because cosmic rays are charged. They're basically protons. It's relativistic protons, so they have a charge, and they are affected by the capacitor. When they get inside that, and the capacitor is very big, it goes out beyond the orbit of Pluto. So it's very big. But the real cause of the sun's very low activity, and it is, it's shockingly low. I've been watching the solar activity for literally decades, many, many decades. And the tools we have now are certainly much better. But in terms of the solar activity, the solar wind, etc., that's usually our key activity measurement, the velocity of the solar wind, solar flares, CMEs, coronal mass ejections. We have not had a decent CME in maybe a decade. During the Hale-Bopp era, we were having 2 or 3 X-class flares per day. And that's because Hale-Bopp was discharging the solar capacitor. And so what happens after that is you have a lull in solar activity. So let's go back. In fact, I was talking about the Venus event, where Venus was a much bigger comet than Hale-Bopp, much, much bigger. And the people could physically see the 7 to 14 tails. Like, we could see that with Hale-Bopp, but we needed special filters. You could see the multiple tails of Hale-Bopp up to 11 to 14 at a time out there flailing around. And it was only due to the activity of a professional astronomer who had his own private equipment that posted on the internet that we have that data. NASA totally hid all the data from Hale-Bopp and made it out to be nothing. And, oh, they didn't even look at Hale-Bopp. It was nothing. The astronomers at NASA, I will just tell you, are liars. The astronomers, like people like Hal Weaver, Ali Hainaut, the University of Hawaii, are professional liars. That's the best thing you can say about them. They know about data, those people, and there's other people who have access to certain level of data. But you got to remember that those facilities, too, are occupied by what we call Tier 1 scientists, what I call Tier 1 scientists, scientists who are typically related to the military, and they don't kowtow to this Tier 2 baloney, Carl Sagan. And Carl Sagan, by the way, was not a master scientist. He was a Tier 2 spokesperson. That's who Carl Sagan, or Neil deGrasse Tyson, so-called physicist, is a spokesperson. He's a Tier 2 textbook reading, textbook textbook reader that they refer to. They put these people up, put neon lights around them, give them a nice makeup so they look good on camera, and everybody's supposed to listen to them. Neil deGrasse Tyson is not a good scientist. He's a textbook repeater that they put up there to follow up Carl Sagan, and they put these people up there and, like I say, put neon lights flashing around them to make you think that they're great. They're not. They're Tier 2 baloney scientists, as is the remake of the Cosmos series. I go through all of this in my paid cast, point by point, session by session, topic by topic. So if you have not heard my paid cast on that, that's an entire, I think I did about 20 weeks on just the Cosmos series. Very much worth the information. So anyway, but going back to the Venus event, this is very interesting because after the Venus event, there was a lot of glaciation on Earth. And by the way, the Laurentian, what's called the Laurentian Ice Shield, melted, and that's what carved out the Mississippi River Valley. That's what carved out the what they call the scab country of Lake Oregon, where the wash came in from like the north and east, and that just melted very quickly. Tremendous amount of water came from that melting ice and just carved out these vast areas and left the Mississippi River Valley, which I used to see daily because I went to school in Winona, and the big valley between the bluffs of Wisconsin and the bluffs of Minnesota is very wide. It's probably, in some places, might be 20 miles wide. And that was all washed out, whoosh, in one big fell swoop, washing it down to basically New Orleans in this little meandering thing we call the mighty Mississippi River is just a trace. It's just a trickle of what was once there when that Laurentian ice shield melted, and of course leaving the Great Lakes, etc. But the good part of the world, because of the Venus event, Venus extinguishing basically the solar capacitor during its probably 600-year period. Hale-Bopp was in the solar system for 6 years and left us with very little solar energy built up. And that's it's because there's a feedback process between the solar capacitor and the energy of the sun and the amount of fuel that can get into the sun because the sun's fusion is at the surface, not down in the core. So all this solar activity being very low is a result of the comet Hale-Bopp. So once again, the CIA, who knows that I'm 100% correct on this, I know it, because people come out and tell me, they love these yo-yos that come around that have no clue what they're talking about and make a relationship. And so you could similarly make a relationship between the price of refrigerators. So the price of refrigerators has gone up, and that's affecting the solar activity. That makes about as much sense. But cosmic rays are affected by the electric field of the sun, but it's the other way around. The cosmic ray activity is greater because we do not have as strong an electric field around the sun, and it's a symptom of the sun's low activity, not a cause. Like I say, it'd be like going into the doctor with chicken pox and red spots all over your face, and the doctor tries to tell you that your chicken pox has been caused by the red spots on your face. No, it's the other way around. The chicken pox causes the red spots on your face. So anyway, I hope that makes sense. It's a fairly simple analogy. But yes, we have very low solar activity, and I get a kick out of places like spaceweather.com, the Rothschild banking European banker, disinformation, European banker-owned weather information, and they have taken over all of the weather. The weather today is so horrifically bad. The weather reporting and used to be there was good weather information. The last semblance of even reasonably good information, and even that wasn't very good, was in telecast, and they've been gobbled up by Weather Underground, and that is just ridiculously bad. Terrible format, horribly poor information, very little information, and used to be within telecast, you could put in almost any place in the world and get some kind of basic information. Not anymore. You can only get major cities. You know, this Wonderground or whatever it is, weather, oh my God, horrifically bad. Yeah, so, and if you turn on the radio or go to the TV stations for weather, it's just garbage. Like this whole polar vortex thing, garbage. We've been having cyclonic storms near the North Pole forever. It's a very common feature. So all of a sudden, why do we have polar vortexes? It's a term to catch the public's imagination. And if they repeat it enough, it's like the double wall on a hurricane. The double wall is created by the laser satellites trying to move the hurricanes. And so it became so obvious that you could see this that they told the weathermen, they just read a script. They told the weathermen to start saying that this was a double eye wall, some kind of common feature of hurricanes. Well, no, it's not a common feature of hurricanes. It's common now that they have laser satellites dragging the hurricanes around to cause damage. But anyway, like that Hurricane Michael is one of the most recent ones in Florida, going from a less than a Category 1 to a Category 5 hurricane in 8 hours. Hello, boys and girls. And that's at a time when it should have been being reduced because it was coming into the shallow, that big bank that comes in on the southwest side of Florida. It should have been shorting out and going away, and they drove it up to a Category 5 in 8 hours. Anyway, yeah, we live in a real great world here. And unfortunately, I thought Trump would stop aerial spraying, chemtrail spraying. I thought he would dump NASA. And I'll probably talk about a few other things here in a minute. But I should interject this as long as the topic of Trump came up. It's very clear that Trump has been taken over by certain groups. And, for example, the CIA for about 20 years and the CIA-controlled press has been trying to get into Venezuela to retake the oil. Venezuela dwarfs Saudi Arabia in terms of oil reserves. Do you think that the United States would have any interest in Venezuela or trying to put in regime change if it were not for the oil? Ask me that question. Let's go on CNN to the dunderheads there, to the white hair Anderson Cooper or any of the nutcases, the CIA mouthpieces that they have on CNN or any of the other CIA-owned news media, the New York Times, Washington Post, the Google, Wikipedia or Rational Wiki, all of those sites completely CIA-controlled to twist the public's perception and the youth's perception, etc. But make no mistake about it, this Guido guy has never even run for an office in Venezuela. So they're taking some guy who was a low-level nobody, kind of like an Obama kind of guy. He almost even looks a little like Obama. It makes you wonder. But this guy was trained in Russia, in U.S. facilities in Russia, and was part of the Ukrainian deal as a low-level student. He watched the Ukrainian takeover as a student of the CIA in Ukraine. And then he came back to the U.S. This guy is like a Manuel Noriega. His job is to come in, cause fomentation and trouble, And then he gets a call from Washington from Mike Pence saying, hey, by the way, you're the president. Yeah. How does that work? Anyway, this is not going to be good, and it's a big mistake by Trump. But the problem is Trump is being controlled by the CIA with total disinformation. So anyway, it's not what I expected from Trump, being a guy who came along and through tremendous odds became president, to turn around and foment basically a regime change from a guy who was never even running for public office to appoint him as president in a foreign country. Oh, my goodness. You know, and let me just explain a little bit about Venezuela and some of its neighboring countries. Brazil, during the Summer Olympics a couple summers ago, had a regime change. They came in, and the duly elected president, who was a populist president, was arrested in office with trumped-up charges. They had a judge convict him and put him in prison. This was a political coup. And then the United States came in, the FBI was there, and the CIA was there to install their man in Brazil. They did that there in a neighboring country, other neighboring country of Venezuela, Colombia. The same thing happened, where the United States is basically maintaining a U.S.-supported candidate and fixing the elections. And so now they're going after Venezuela. It appears to be kind of like this same deal they did in the Mideast, where they had Libya, Syria, Yemen, and they had the whole laundry list, the seven places where they said in the next 10 years the United States would attack and turn over. And Obama was carrying out that agenda with the support of ISIS, creating and supporting ISIS. And I was impressed when Trump went in there and got rid of them and then left, leaving, actually Russia pulled out too, leaving Syria totally destroyed, of course, with all of the military activity, totally destroyed Syria. But left the duly elected president, whether you like him or not, in that country. But the Western press is so twisted that none of you out there have a real clear picture of the world the way it really is. But since Chavez won in Venezuela about 20 years ago, the CIA has been in there dogging the trying to create opposition and trying to get the Venezuelan people to putting a blockade and blocking their money, etc. And of course, then they say that, well, Maduro doesn't know how to run a country, and blaming it on socialism. The reason there is socialism in Venezuela, go back to before 20 years ago, before Chavez, Venezuela was like Havana in Cuba before the Cuban Revolution. And Cuba has had to live for now 60 years under complete military sanctions and economic sanctions, and have lived there peacefully and basically brought themselves up to where they're the number one medical and dental country in the world. In the world today, they have the number one medical and doctor facilities. And, of course, they have problems because they can't get facilities. But all of the Latin American countries send their students to Cuba to be educated in medicine. Cuba has the lowest cancer rate. They have zero hunger for children. They have 100% education. This is a place that the United States is about 40th in education in the world. It's horrific. But what they're trying to do is the same business to Venezuela, because Venezuela has these massive oil reserves and it's not dealing in a petrodollar. And of course, Venezuela has the ability to swing the petrol economy of the world. And so they've blocked any international transactions monetarily. They've blocked gold from being moved to Venezuela. So this is an economic war. And the news media in the United States is so slanted and giving such a slanted picture of Venezuela. And literally, the Venezuelan people understand this. So they turned out by the tens of millions to sign a petition to keep Maduro in office. And they had to go to various places to sign petitions. And if you look closely enough, you can find people that that were doing interviews on the street in Caracas, etc., saying that they were signing this petition, against this Guido guy who's a resident of Florida. You know, this is just beyond bizarre. But Trump has gotten caught up into this, and so it's very clear that Trump is being controlled. It's not exactly, he's smart in a lot of ways, but in this respect, he's being very much controlled. And this is not a good sign for the U.S. because the deep state is very much entrenched. And the cheating that's going on, they're trying to pass a voting reform bill, and that doesn't address the main issue, which is cheating at the local level, at the precinct level, where they literally change the votes at the precinct level. That's where the main source of cheating was for Hillary Clinton. And anyway, I'm not going to go into more politics, but it's becoming very twisted. And I'll tell you, if you're a true patriot out there, a person who really wants the United States to be the United States, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. If you, enough of that. On to another topic here. I have my new MR7 filters out, available now with a 10% sale and free shipping to the 48 states. So this is a tremendous deal. Go there. And just a mention of why would you want a whole house filter? Lots of people, probably most of the people that listen to me regularly, have one of my filters and use my GF, JMCC GF filters, which are targeted filtration. They take out for the lifetime of the filter, and it's tested. These filters are tested, and they're very inexpensive compared to the other filters on the market, which are not targeted. The black foam filters, it's basically what I call packing foam cut into a cylinder. It's not a filter. It's an absorber. You have to prime them. You have to pump water into them to make them work, which contaminates your filter from the very beginning. So they're not good filters at all. I used to sell that stuff, and it's at the time okay, but boy, am I happy with what I'm selling now. That's all I can tell you. There's no comparison. But anyway, why would you want a whole house filter if you already have one in the kitchen? Well, the reason is because when you go into that shower and you turn on the water, you have chlorine and arsenic and fluorides, sodium fluoride chemicals, all of this stuff, highly toxic. And that hot water, and you're breathing it in, and your skin is the biggest organ on your body. It absorbs that, takes it in, and there's no question that's one of the big reasons that the cancer rate in the United States is just soaring. It's in the food, it's in the water, it's everywhere. If you go and buy a soda pop, it's in there. It's horrific. They just discovered that C8, the main base chemical for Teflon, is in literally all the water tables of the earth. It's a really horrific situation. But why would you want a whole house water filter? basically, so you're not showering in this chemical soup or washing your clothes. One of the biggest destroyers of your clothes is the chlorine that's in the water. And the city puts it in there. If you're in the country and you have a well, the problem you have there is glyphosate. Glyphosate is basically the active chemical in Roundup. And it's in the water tables in the country, and you do not want to be drinking that. It's cancer-causing. And, yeah, you got to get that out of your water. But if you're showering in it with glyphosate in the water, really, really bad. I should comment, as long as I brought up this topic of glyphosate, Mike, who's the natural health guy, I like a lot of the stuff he does, but recently he did a test on a number of water filters to see if they remove glyphosate. And the problem is that all he did was a one-off test, like here's some water, put it in the filter, it's got a certain percentage of glyphosate, does it remove the glyphosate? And what he found was that most of them removed some of the glyphosate. Well, let me tell you something. If you took a stack of printer paper out of your printer and you formed it into kind of a funnel and you put water in there, that would remove glyphosate for about the first 10 minutes. And after that, it would not remove it anymore. So the test he did is not a test. When my filters are tested for glyphosate, they're tested for the lifetime of the filters, which is a hard test to do because you've got to run the water through the filters continuously for the 2,000 to 3,000 gallons of lifetime of that filter. You have to run the water through those filters continuously, and that takes a lot of work. It's not a one-off five-minute deal. So what he did is really a bad service, and it's unfortunate that people don't understand testing of water filtration and then try and present something like that as valid. Unfortunately, it's not. And like I say, Mike Adams, that's his name, is I really like a lot of the things he does. Great patriot, a lot of really great analysis. But in this case, in testing water filters, that is not how you test water filters. And also, it can be affected by other chemicals in the water. If you have glyphosate, okay, that's one issue. My filters target glyphosate to remove it for the lifetime of the filter. But they're also targeted for hundreds of other chemicals that are harmful. And they remove arsenic and chlorine and arsenic in the filter itself. You don't need an add-on filter. So anyway, there's a lot of disinformation out there about filtration. That's all I can tell you. And some people think they understand it, but don't. Anyways, a little correction there, and unfortunate. I could go on and on. I saw a guy sent me a video, some guy in his home, saying he's going to clean, one of the black foam filters, and he puts it in vinegar. And I thought, that's ridiculous. I would never put one of my filters in vinegar to clean it. All you do is rub the surface a little bit if there's some calcium buildup or something, and you don't even have to take it out of the filter housing. You just rub it a little bit with a Scotch-Brite pad and rinse the water out and the sediment, and you put it back in and use it again. It takes about 2 minutes to clean one of my filters that has some mineral sediment buildup. If you have a mineral problem, especially if you're in the country and you have a well, a lot of people do have minerals of various types. It could be sulfur, it could be calcium, buildup or something like that, or there's a whole laundry list of various types of, it could be iron that's in the water and builds up on the outside of your filter. You just take a Scotch-Brite pad, rub it a little bit, get it back to that white ceramic filter, that cream color filter, and voila, you're ready to go again. That's how you clean my filters. You don't have to take them out and put them in vinegar. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, I've seen so much Looney Tunes stuff, I can't even, it just drives me crazy. Just bar none, my water filters are the best on the planet. There's nothing like them. And they're on sale. They're always on sale with free shipping on my website. And I really get bit by free shipping sometimes. This past week, I had just a standard water filter and some extra filters going to, I think it was like to Oregon. $95 shipping. And this is really getting out of hand, because I guarantee you Amazon, Jeff Bezos is not paying $95 to ship anything. He could ship a car for less than $95. Because the postal and the UPS and those services give him a big discount, which I think is illegal. The president has brought it up, lots of people, but you have to act on this stuff. I mean, we're paying for the good prices that Amazon gets, and, you know, so, but anyway, I still believe in free shipping, but I'm going to have to invoke some kind of charge. Because if people live out in remote areas, then these shipping companies are gouging. And what they should be doing is, just like the telephone company, if it takes a lot of wire to get out to the certain remote areas, then they absorb that into the cost that everybody pays. And it's just a little teeny, teeny piece for everybody to pay to have phone service for everybody, rather than gouging these people that are out at the end of the phone line. Well, it's the same with shipping. But with the post office, UPS, etc., they are gouging those people just because they choose to live out away from things. They're charging them horrific prices. So I paid $95 to ship a water filter and a couple extra filters to this place in Washington or Oregon, when the average shipping price should be around $20. The average shipping price a couple years ago was around $10 to $15. Now it's double that. So anyway, what I'm saying is that in certain cases, even in the 48 states, I'm going to have to charge people shipping, because I can't absorb a $100 shipping fee. I already did on that one, but I'm going to have to post on my webpage, Hawaii and Alaska, I already charged like foreign shipping. That's outrageous. The poor people in there, or Canada, is outrageous. It used to be the same cost to ship to Canada as the United States. Now it's triple. It's four times. These companies are gouging, and nobody's putting a stop to it. It used to be we had a federal postal service, and it's not anymore. It's a private organization. Anyway. Enough of that. Just a comment on the internet today. It is the wild, wild west out there. And a lot of this being done by basically the CIA, who wants to destroy information. They want to be completely in control of the internet. And so that's all I'll say is that, man, buyer beware. When you go on the internet, it is the wild, wild west out there. Anyway, I got an email from a listener on this topic, and I appreciate when people send these in, because I cannot be on top of this all the time. So one topic is that this week Trump signed the Space Force Accord or whatever, you know, mandate to start a space Department of Defense for space. And it's a game of one-upmanship. If China does it, or if the U.S. does it, or if Russia does it, then everybody else has got to follow to militarize outer space. There are laws against this that everybody is simply ignoring. There are international accords that went in when I was a kid, saying that outer space should be for research and for the progress of the human race, and it should not be militarized. And Everybody's just ignoring this. It's a bad idea because one thing, here's the thing. Remember Star Wars with Reagan and putting up all of this, military equipment to defend our country? And that is what caused Russia to go bankrupt, is because Russia was trying to keep up with us. And they were going out and stealing eggs in the country to support their Star Wars program to match the USA. And they couldn't do it. Well, right now what's going on is Russia has gotten lean and mean militarily. Russia has tremendous military and space military capabilities. And China is gaining it also. But the United States, the problem is we have this massive, very money-hungry military-industrial complex thing, and we're going to be paying massive amounts of money for crap that doesn't work. Let me just put it the way it is. Most of what we have in our military right now is for skirmishes. It works okay when we're dealing with a land-based army that's in a certain locale like ISIS. And I've heard also that the Raytheon rocket systems, Trump used them in Syria just to see if they worked. They shot those, by the way, at a town where there was nobody there. The town had already been cleared out. So Trump called up the Russians and said, hey, we're going to do a volley of our rockets to test them here on the, in real field conditions. And they didn't work. They failed. It was a failure. So you have paid boatloads of money to these companies like Raytheon and Ball Aerospace and, the Boeing and the whole laundry list for crap that doesn't work. So you have a very expensive military, and they are the Achilles heel of the military, is the use of GPS that I was joking on the John Moore show. I said, if you're in the military, you can't go to the bathroom without GPS. Everything is accounted for with GPS. So if anybody takes, they're the easiest things to jam. It's all it is radio frequency and a satellite up there. You could take that satellite, a couple of those out, we'd be all done because they depend on frequency comparison from different satellites. You take out one or two of those satellites, and all of our military is done. They won't be able to communicate. They won't be able to tell where they are. It's back to mechanical operation, and our military is not set up that way. So we have a major Achilles heel. It's built in. Just like when I wrote my book Calculate Primes and it destroyed the RSA encryption codes, that encryption system was in everything. It was in hardware and satellites and military hardware and public and private hardware and software. It was everywhere. And so breaking that code, which I publicized openly in a very important so that the public knew that those codes were broken. And I certainly didn't take that off and do anything nefarious with it. I made it public and was criticized. Still am being criticized on the internet for that. But also I have my follow-on book, Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit, and not to mention my new release called Prime. It's called Principles of Prime Numbers, Volume 1. It's for sale on the webpage. But like I say, the internet is the wild west out there. But also, a listener wrote in on a thing called Harpoon. This is a British satellite that cleans up space junk. Now, there's something like 30,000 pieces of space junk in outer space. A horrific, horrific amount of stuff in NASA, Russia, China. But primarily, it's mainly due to NASA, and who has also polluted Mars and other satellites by landing on satellites with probes that have bacteria on them. They were not properly cleaned before they left Earth. So they have Earth bacteria on them, and they've taken them into other pristine locations like Mars. NASA is, I'll tell you, they've done a lot more damage and very little good. One of their rovers just went under. I can't believe they got all that mileage out of those rovers. And yes, I don't think we were getting pictures from Mars all that time. Those rovers, I don't believe, worked for more than maybe a couple, maybe 6 months. So what they've been showing is rover pictures. We're not coming from those rovers. I think they have other equipment up there. And they were every now and then sending a few pictures back to keep you, the people at home, sending your checks and dollars and love letters to NASA. But anyway, the British have developed this system called Harpoon, and here is how it works. They get a piece of space junk, and then they inflate a big balloon type of thing. And that, all of these pieces of junk, etc., are up, and there is, even in outer space, what we call the edge of outer space, there's still a thin atmosphere there. So by inflating this balloon, it eventually will bring it down out of its orbit into the Earth's atmosphere and burn up. Okay, well, there's a couple issues. Most of the junk up there is in the form of nuts and bolts and small things. And so to do 30,000 of these, imagine 30,000 different satellites that have to go up there. First of all, they have to locate the item, come up, grab onto it, inflate this thing, and then wait for it to come back down and burn up in Earth's atmosphere. And there's also the little issue that some of these things have nuclear contamination. They have nuclear power cells or something like that. So they'd be bringing that back into the atmosphere. But the actual experiment they were doing here involved a satellite that they sent up. They inflate the balloon, and then they're going to wait for this to come back down. So it's a very poor test of this system, because it doesn't have to go out and find a piece of junk. It's already attached to the thing that it's going to bring back in. So although it's probably a good idea, as with most things, the only things that get funded are the things that will never work. I'm about out of time here. Just want to remind you, the MR7 filters, 10% sale. Big discounts if you purchase the water filter replacement kits with the original filter. You probably want to buy one or two of those. That's on my webpage. And then also the new release, Principles for Prime Numbers, on the webpage. And then all my water filters on sale. JMCCSCI.com is the webpage. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.